Hello, everyone. This is Zero. I just wanted to come on before the episode starts to put out a bit of a spoiler alert. Our conversation goes into some areas that if you're going along with the chapters of this podcast and you haven't seen past, say, chapter 15 of Dark Hearts, you may want to put this episode aside until you get a bit further through. I'd recommend, in best case scenario, go ahead and watch all of Dark Hearts before you listen to this episode. You can save this one as a treat for yourself. And those of you that have already completed Dark Hearts, as far as watching it through, definitely listen to this now. So anybody out there that's early in the movie, go ahead and put the brakes on. But trust me, this episode will be worth it. Me and my guest talk about everything, and sometimes a little bit comes out that is a bit out in the future. But stay tuned.
This is The Visitor. And you're listening to a dark companion.
This is Zero, and you're listening to A Dark Companion, a Haunting Melissa and Dark Hearts podcast. This is another very special episode for you guys. Guest, could you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone out there. This is Tom Carey. I play the Visitor in the new Dark Hearts, and I also play Deputy Roy, but maybe we'll get into that later.
Yeah, I definitely have some questions about that. So it's Fedora the Explorer himself. On the podcast.
He's here.
Now,
he's
you said you'd listened to Neil's episode, and I'd asked him if that those alternate names for the Visitor had gotten thrown around the office a bit. How do you feel about those?
It's hilarious, man. I was on the discussion boards on the app, and I saw you put it out there, and it it cracked the shit out of me. It really did. It was it's a good one. My I'm in Calgary, so I'm not in the office with the guys, but
sure.
It's gone around my household and my friends a lot.
Really?
So it's starting to stick. Yeah. Wow. FTE in the house.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. So many names, Pimp Limp, and I can't remember them all.
But... Creepy old dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, first off, just... You played Deputy Roy in the first Haunting Melissa and in Dark Hearts. Mm-hmm. And back in the Haunting Melissa time, did you have any idea that you might be playing another character? Or did that character even exist as an idea that anyone on the cast knew?
I did not know about it while I was shooting the first Deputy Roy. But I knew there was something else going on. Even with Deputy Roy, and if you go back and watch the first Haunting Melissa, it's a little weird. Roy, it's a little not, I hate the word vague, it's just a little not specific what Roy is really accomplishing. And then there's that weird phone call in the first one too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh yeah.
With Sally. So I knew something else was going on, but Neil was pretty secretive about stuff at the time. I don't know if he exactly knew down the road, but I knew I had kind of worked up a relationship with Neil, and I only shot a day on the first Haunting Melissa.
Oh, okay.
But then was it a full year later after Haunting Melissa came out, I got this phone call saying, you're going to be perfect for this idea for the second one.
Wow.
And, when I got the script, I just lost it. I'm like, this is my jam. This is like the kind of shit I want to do.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely killed it. You're a whole new kind of, at least to me, you've joined the ranks of all the other kind of horror bad guys, Jason and Mike Myers and Freddy and that kind of thing. It very iconic, and I think as this goes forward, it'll become even a bigger deal.
Well, thanks, man. That's kind of the dream, to have a character like that. I was just happy to be in the film and stuff, but I just love, it just seemed like it all came together with El Darko, and he just, yeah, he got to me too. I lived him for a good 2 months. You just ask my family about it. I was a little nuts for a while. I get a little committed to stuff.
Nice.
And it was a good ride. But to be compared to those kind of iconic characters is just wild to me. And I just hope Dark Heart just continues and people catch on with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the more and more people find out about it and get into the idea of this app movie and the way that you interact with it, it's certainly going to keep going, because there's more to it. And I've been posting in the discussion boards, especially in the Chapter 25 area, people like, oh, I can't believe it's over. I wish there was more. And it's like, there's a lot more. There's just watching it, nothing. You got to go in there and get the fine details.
Yeah, I'm floored. If I take myself out of it for a second, just pretend some other dude was playing Fedora the Explorer. I'm addicted to it. I can't name another, movie where I'm still talking about it, 2 months later, but talking about specific little moments in the movie and questioning them. And then you're able to go on and discuss them with other people. And I got people pointing out stuff that I didn't even think of. I'm in the damn thing. And stuff I didn't even think of. So, it's brilliant. Neil and company down there are just a lot smarter than us up here, I guess. I don't know. Don't tell him I said that, but he's a smart guy.
I'll bleep all that out.
The approach was just brilliant. The first one was, and I just, the second one just, it upped it, but it didn't, it felt like a continuation. It's like, let's continue this story. It's kind of weird. It's not really a complete sequel. It's kind of an equal in a weird way,
sure,
told almost from another perspective. I just thought it was brilliant. And then the delivery method and the way you watch the app, it's crazy to be part of something that just, it does feel kind of groundbreaking.
Yeah,
without sounding, making it epic. But it's just like, yeah, what else? You can't compare it to anything.
No, I mean, it's the fact that you can look for things and then you find things and that those things actually matter. And it's not just a weird continuity error, something like that. Like, there's thought put into every little bit of the movie. It's just fantastic. Yeah, and to talk about it this long after, it's kind of unheard of.
Well, for sure.
I
agree. Totally agree.
So I put out there, and I don't know if you saw on Twitter, if you could talk to the visitor, what would you ask him? So I'll throw a few of those at you as we go along. From Nambo Parfo, I don't know if are you following the kind of Twitter?
I've seen Nambo's little replica robot.
Yes.
I've seen that thing.
That's amazing.
Tell that dude, it's killer.
Yeah.
Killer.
I was shocked. I did not expect someone to actually make one of those. It's pretty brilliant.
I know. Oh, hey.
Yes.
I know he's got that robot, and Neil has his robot in the office, but you're lucky right now. I'm going to show it. You're going to be the only guy who gets to see this thing.
Really?
Okay, just 1 second. No, Neil doesn't even know I have this, so I could get in trouble.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm going to show it to you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. This is my buddy. When Neil listens to this, he's going to be so wondering what I'm holding right now.
Yes, I'm not even going to say what it is.
Yeah, but you get to see some detail there.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. I'll throw out a hint to Neil. It says on the side of it, thanks for bringing, it says Dark Man, which we'll talk about later, to life. You made my job so easy. You rock, Mike Fields.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that thing is just sitting over there right next
to
you?
Yeah, actually, it's embarrassingly, I don't know where to put it, so it's by my bedside, which creeps the wife out of it.
Yeah, I bet.
Anyway, thought I'd show that to you.
Excellent.
So Nambo's got nothing on me.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty significant artifact. So this question is simply, who's your tailor? It's the question for the visitor.
Man. Well, wow.
Kind of a joke question, but who knows, maybe serious.
Well, it's an interesting story how the suit came to be. You think Neil is detail oriented, you know, watching the movie, you know, he has to be,
right?
Like detail, everything. There's so many details in the movie that you can't even, you'll give yourself a headache trying to find them all. But, the suit, I can't remember how many I tried on. Mary Hyde Kerr, the costumer on the show, who is amazing, by the way, had a bunch of suits. And I tried on a few, but then she just picked this one that she got from, I believe she got it. It's like the Calgary Theater, at the Calgary Theater Company. And, we put it on. She's like, this is it. And I'm like, you think so? And she's like, yeah, this is it. I know. And as soon as Neil saw that one, it was just like, the fact that she knew, and Neil was just like, yeah, that's it. And then, you know, it's all in the silhouette. It was all on purpose. Every little detail within the suit and everything was thought. But yeah, so that's how the suit kind of came to us in a weird way.
Hmm.
And usually on a shoot like this, you might actually get a suit made.
Right.
You know, you might, like usually you would get this suit made, like, you know, the dark man. We'll talk about that later. The visitor.
I'll make a note.
You know, he's a pretty important character in the film. I'm wearing all this prosthetic. You would think, you know what, we need to build the suit. We need to build the suit. And to find the perfect suit was kind of a gift.
It certainly works. I don't know, because I don't know the whole story behind the visitor, you know, where he came from, what his deal is.
But yeah.
That suit just on its own adds another level, because we've been debating, like, okay, he looks like he's from a certain time period. Does that have any relevance? Mm-hmm. Did he come directly from there, or is there more to it than that? Lots of stuff. It makes you ask a lot of questions. It's very,
yeah,
very
interesting. Like, does he just, is that suit from his favorite time period?
Oh, interesting question.
Yeah, it is a good question.
So not necessarily that he came from there directly, but that's just the way he likes it.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Interesting.
And also, a lot of this is, you know, me and Neil discussed what I needed to know.
Yeah, is there a character Bible for that? Or
character Bible? There was one for me, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no... no absolute from Neil, no absolute backwards blueprint.
Okay.
That I needed to follow. But for me to do what I did, I need something to hold on to.
Right.
So I do have my own story, which I think Neil has picked up on some of what I was thinking. But it kind of does leave it a little open to interpretation.
And is your personal story for him based off of any of the details of the story as a whole that you've gotten from Neil?
Oh, is any of the ideas that I got from him based off the script that I got from Neil?
Yeah, just kind of like anything that about the bigger story that you know about that we would just be speculating about. Did you kind of incorporate those details into?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So there's.
Yes.
Okay. So it's kind of canon. Okay.
And this isn't going to be our first podcast. This isn't going to be the first one.
Okay.
So we got to keep people listening.
Oh, definitely.
But, Neil, man, he's. I'm just going to call him smart again. And it's just, I know he deserves better than that. And the script, watching the film, the script was like, we followed the script. Like, it's pretty bang on what we ended up with, or what Neil and company ended up with, is very bang on to what I read.
Okay.
There was some very interesting changes between two drafts that I got, but as a whole, it's, you know, even the DSE, all that stuff, it's pre-planned. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I always imagined with the DSEs, especially because, you know, we don't know where they're going to be. So we're looking around, and I just imagined that you shoot the scene you're going to shoot, then you go back and you go, well, that area looks kind of cool. We could probably put something there. But to hear that it was kind of figured out ahead of time makes it even more amazing.
Yeah. Like, I remember two that were kind of like sprung on me.
Okay.
Yeah, but everything else it was on paper beforehand.
Huh. Interesting. One question I have, and you can go into as little or as much detail as you want. Is it relevant that you play Deputy Roy and the Visitor? And feel free to be mysterious with your answer.
Oh, well, I have an answer. I am curious, actually, to hear from you first.
Okay.
What your honest, I guess, guess is of why would it, how could it make sense?
Well, so back in the first Haunting Melissa, after Mike Cole goes into Melissa's house and kind of has that little scuffle with her in the kitchen, and she calls the police, and they send Roy out to talk to him. It seems, Roy seems very ominous in that, you know, he seems very confident that he's going to kind of shut him up. Like, it doesn't, it seems very deliberate that he's going to go there, and all of a sudden, you know, he knows for sure Mike Cole's going to be kind of out of the way. I'm not there seems to be some agency with people like Dr. Carraway, with Roy, even the dispatch on the phone, and the fact that the whole town knows about, or at least knows something about what's going on. So, but I don't know. And my guess is it's probably just a hope is that yes, there is, but I don't know exactly what to base it on, except my suspicions of him both in Haunting Melissa, talking to Mike Cole, and the interrogation room in Dark Hearts.
Yeah. And then not to put out a spoiler because we're on, but and then Mike Cole's demise.
Right.
Kind of it's like, yeah, it's kind of connected. If you think Deputy Roy and the Visitor are connected, those three things are very connected, which I know it's weird and it's not obvious, and it's not like I have figured out a way that it that it comes together. And but you got, you know, it's so big, the Dark Arts universe. I'm starting to call it universe now.
Sure.
I just feel like the Visitor is someone who has been torn apart and put back together.
Hmm.
Which explains a lot of other things about him.
Sure, sure.
And maybe where he came from. And I always felt he was kind of a chess master. He just knows where to put his pawns.
Hmm.
He just knows how to lay things out to make the end come out where he wants it to.
Well, with that information, I'm definitely going to go back and really think hard about connections between Roy and the Visitor and everybody else, because one of the things I've been trying to do is figure out sides in this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Fedora seems to be able to show up through some kind of a portal and walk around. I don't really know the extent of his capabilities, but then you've got Goth Girl who kind of appears in this wispy smoke, and, you know, she seems similar to him but different. I mean, she's definitely not like the rest of the humans on the other side of the thing. But then you've got suspicions of Carraway being involved, and I'm going to put a spoiler thing in the beginning of this, and then getting more confirmation of that later at the end. So trying to figure out where everybody lies, because, you know, Jack seems to have made some kind of deal, and the Lancasters have some kind of deal, but I don't know. How did Mrs. Carraway get involved?
I know
this whole thing. That's,
but what you're doing right now is why it's so brilliant. Like, the questions you're asking is why it works so well. Like, if everything you just asked was tied up in a little bow and just handed out to you, we would be done talking about the movie.
Yeah, It would just be over with.
It just be over. And that's, you know, a lot of the discussion boards I find people just can't let go. They just can't be like, or they just don't want to do the work. Sure. Sometimes, you know, they just want to tied it up. It was Kaiser Soze and move on, you know? So I think it's brilliant because of the discussion it brings up. And then picking sides, that's a very good point. Like, who's good, who's bad, who doesn't have a choice.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Goth Girl doesn't seem to actively try to hurt anybody.
Exactly.
So it's like, what is she even doing there? Is she just there to kind of push certain things along? It definitely seems like a big chess match of getting things in the right position and getting to an outcome. Just don't understand.
But yeah, it's tough. Not a spoiler, but kind of a spoiler. At the end, the last shot.
Mm-hmm.
Into the fire. So 24
mm-hmm.
and 25. I find it really interesting to watch. Trying to pull myself out of it and just pretend someone else is watching it, is someone else is playing Fedora. I just find it very interesting to watch. Is Fedora happy? Is he satisfied? Is everything where it's supposed to be?
Interesting. Yeah. Hmm. You know what?
Someone knows the answer, but...
Oh, sure. That's the kind of thing you don't really think about when you watch a regular, you know, movie. Is to really consider what everyone's thinking outside of the situation you see them in. Like, yeah, you know, it seems like maybe...
Yeah.
Things are where he wants them, but... I feel like there's even more going on. Because there's also before he showed up. And, you know, is everyone working for him, or is he a pawn for somebody else, you know?
Mm.
And just what the heck happened to Emma's mom, and why did she swap places with him?
I don't know. Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I was thinking, did she ever come back? So who raised Emma? You know, how did this...
Oh, I saw you put that out on... I think you put that out on Twitter, right?
Yeah. It just hit me one day. I was like, wait a minute. Is this the first time it's ever happened? Did she ever come back? And who the heck raised Emma? I need to know.
Well, this is kind of what I listened to Neil's podcast that you did with him. It's almost like the next one... I won't say that. I'll just say it could be...
Mm-hmm.
It could be another, it's not a sequel. It is let's not fill in holes, because I don't feel like there's holes, but you can definitely show those things, like what happened in the middle,
mm-hmm.
to bridge the gaps a little bit.
Sure.
You know, just that. And you can have so much fun with it. There's so much fun. There's, you know, I have thoughts. I haven't sat and talked to Neil in a long time. Just about Dark Hearts, but you know, there's opportunity everywhere, and I love that everything's all the social media and all the discussion boards and all this kind of stuff can just feed into the story.
Oh yeah,
you know, like you've become part of the story almost.
Seems like it.
You know,
like it. Yeah.
No, congratulations! Like you've done more work than I did on this thing. Like.
Well,
yeah, I just got to put you in a makeup chair for 3 hours every day.
Actually,
besides that.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask. It's from @slowgenliz, SLOEGINLIZ. How long did makeup take? Got my answer.
Wow. Well, the process was really funny. When Neil told me about the character, he was like, yeah, you're going to be in prosthetic and stuff. I'm like, oh, that is great. Awesome. And I was thinking it was going to be pretty simple. And all of a sudden he was like, oh, I had to fly to Vancouver to get my face molded. Mm-hmm. And then, I had to do a makeup test in Los Angeles. And that was the first time I got it put on. It was put on by Justin Raleigh, who's another famous dude. And he helped, and him and another guy designed, Fedora's face. And I think that day, the first time it was like three and a half hours for him to do it, but he was kind of discovering it as he was putting it on.
Sure.
Like he had already got the prosthetics, but the paint job and stuff like that. And then he handed it over to Mike Fields, who's a rock star. I recommend looking him up in his resume. Like
he's will do that.
Huge. There's a video of him on the net, putting the costumes on the one of the last Predator movies.
Oh wow.
And he's just the coolest guy. But he had it, I think the first time he did it was 3 hours. And then I think our average kind of after that was maybe two hours, 20 minutes or so.
Mm.
It was always put it all on and then just wait to do finishing touches when we knew I was going to set.
Sure.
So yeah. And it took maybe 40 minutes to take it off.
Oh wow. Hmm.
And it's a crazy, I don't know if you know, but the process is hilarious. There's five pieces. There was a cowl, so the back of the head, a forehead, a nose, the mouth. Is that four or five? Something like that. Hey, let's take a look.
Sure.
Neil now probably knows what we're looking at. But so the chin. So the chin, back. So the big piece came over the head, forehead, chin, nose, and then kind of face. Okay. And it all went down around the shoulders and stuff. But it was a hilarious. The makeup assistant one day said, hey, let's try to take it all off as one piece. Because usually you don't do that because it kind of falls apart when you take it off.
Right.
But we were able to just slowly dissolve the glue and we took it all off at once.
Oh.
So you can see where we split it.
Okay.
Wow. And then we were able to put it into one of the molds that it was delivered on.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
It was an experience for sure. Everybody kind of warned me ahead of time. I didn't know what I was getting into.
Hmm.
Cause I had never done full head prosthetics before. I've done scars and, you know, easy stuff. But, I gotta say it's not about the process. It's about the people you're hanging out with.
Sure.
And, it was hilarious.
Hmm.
It was just the fun. It was the most fun. It would have been hard if the people I was hanging out with for 4 hours a day weren't so cool.
Wow. Yeah. I can imagine that. Well, another question that she had. Well, one is, did you try to keep the hat? Because she totally would have.
Fudge. Yes. Well, I knew I wasn't going to get the hat.
Right.
But we had, you know, it's funny. I said the suit we found magically, the hat we had to get built.
Okay.
Because Neil just knew what he wanted. And it was pretty obvious. I did the makeup test with it, and it was kind of like I had these like hat choices, and neither of them worked. So the hat was built, but I think we got three of them built, like in different colors and stuff. And then Neil picked the one he wanted, and I knew I couldn't keep that one. And then I heard after the fact I think they sold them.
Oh.
And I could have got it if I had stayed in the loop for like a week or so. So I would have a hat on that thing right now. But
yeah, it would be on your head every day.
Yeah, so I think Neil owes me a hat if I ever get to don the mask again.
Yes, indeed. And is it significant that he appears more injured in some scenes than others?
Oh. He does, he?
Appeared to her that he did.
Well, I can't honestly say that was exactly what I was going for.
Sure.
It was really important to me was the gait of the walk, because I knew how important it was to Neil. And it's weird having a meeting with a director you're trying to impress, and it's kind of like, hey, here, look at my walk. How's this look? And I come in with an idea, and Neil, like, I could tell right away when it wasn't right, and we didn't do a whole bunch of them. I think I only showed him three, and the last one, even I knew it was the one. I was just praying that he thought it was the one. And that's the one we went with. But that kind of the being more injured and not injured kind of goes back to what I said, that I feel like he's a character that's been ripped apart, put back together, and put to work.
Gotcha. And the walk is important. I'll just keep that in mind.
Yeah. And the best example of the walk in the film, it's my favorite shot of El Darko is, and you only get to see it for a brief second. I forget which chapter after you watch it, one of the little cutscenes. So not a DSC, but a
little Easter egg cutscene.
Little Easter egg of him entering. Well, it's, obviously Mike Cole's hospital.
Right.
Kind of a crazy shot, but watch the walk on that one, because that one is just a killer shot.
Yeah, it's very good.
And then the cinematography. Oh my God. The film just looks so good.
Oh yeah. Everything
smarter
about
people.
Especially those, like, I don't know, helicopter shots across, like, the landscapes. It's like, visit Canada.
That's what it's And no, and they stretched, you know, it's not a $40 million movie. Like, they, what they got done is just amazing to me.
Yeah. I mean, and I kind of like that it has that independent spirit. It's not, you know, some big box office kind of thing. But it's still incredibly well done. I mean, from the way it's shot to the acting, everything about it is fantastic.
Yeah, the acting, Greg Lawson, Jack, he killed it, man. He's a good friend. Like, he's a really close actor friend of mine, and man, just jealous sometimes of what he can do.
Yeah,
that scene when he looks at the TV, and he cries, screams, yells, man.
You feel it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I could definitely feel the frustration and just how just done he was with the whole thing. And that you finally get to see, like, his number is up, it seems like, you know, that he's not just... Because you always, at least I was always suspicious of him, because everybody knows something's going on, but nobody will tell Melissa. And so you start to feel like, man, this guy, it's almost to his advantage. But then you start to see in Dark Hearts that he's starting to break. You're like, oh, he's not a fan of this at all either. And you start to kind of feel for him as a victim. And then when he just completely loses it in front of the TV, it definitely brings it home.
So good.
And I was actually going to ask you about... Oh, go ahead. Go for it.
Oh, just funny story about Greg. I've known him for, probably 10 years or so. We've been on films together before. But we never really shared scenes.
Right.
So the first scene I've ever done with Greg is when El Darko, we'll talk about that later maybe, comes to the door.
Right.
And Melissa's watching from the window. And it's very cleverly shot, all from basically from Melissa's perspective. So the coverage that day was just through the window. And so me and Greg are doing this scene together. And we're like, this is the first time we ever got to do this. And then we're like, yeah, this is great. And then all of a sudden we hear, okay, that's great, we're done. And so me and Greg are, what? And we're like, because we thought we're going to come outside of the house and do more coverage of the seat. And we should have realized, no, it makes more sense for it to be kind of hidden and not so obvious. But, you know, being actors, we're like, what? Where's my close-up? Neil, you suck, man.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the fact that I was noticed so much crossover between you guys, your IMDb resumes of different shows you've all been on and may or may not have actually worked together on it, and how that affected working on the set.
It's really funny that so Greg played Cassia's dad in another movie, and Barb Mitchell, who plays Cassie's mom, played her mom in another movie.
Was that Mary In-Laws, I think?
Yeah, Mary In-Laws.
I need to watch.
it might be hard to find. Dr. Caraway, my friend Lorette Clo, played my mom in a Western movie starring Kevin Costner.
Really?
I have the poster right here. In Open Range. So I met her, that's 12 years ago that she played my mom.
Wow.
Yeah, and we both had kind of small parts in the movie, but so I've known her for years. But it is shooting in Calgary is just the best. It is just the best for the actors when the actors get these good roles. And thank God for Neil for coming up to Calgary and taking risks, just hiring Calgarians and saying, "What's wrong with these people? Let's just hire these people. I don't need to fly people in from everywhere."
Sure.
And I don't feel like he's taking risks with us. I feel like he knows this is a smart way to go. And it's so much fun for us because we know everybody, and the crew on the show is just amazing. Like, I've known some of the crew guys, for 10, 12 years, from when I was like just starting out as an actor.
Wow.
like one of the act, the main camera guy, Brett Manilek on the show, Steadicam off, and main, actually, I think he was just, yeah, first camera. I was in a movie with him. He was an actor too. Oh. And, in a big war movie, and he was awesome. He was so awesome in it. And then, yeah, he's kind of become more of a Steadicam off, but he's a good actor too. It's just funny how, you know, everybody's just the best experience ever.
Yeah, I thought that would be kind of cool because I would, you know, look at all your different IMDb pages and it's like, wait, he was in that. She was, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Even down to the old hag was in, I went on YouTube, I went on the internet everywhere to find that one episode of Heartland where she has one line screaming at this lady about towels.
Oh, man. Do you know what season that is? I got to see that too. Little Edna?
Yeah, I will find it. Because, it took me all day. I was digging around and I was like, I need to find this. Took a screenshot of it and everything.
Oh, Heartland, man. I stole a horse on there. I burned down a barn. I did lots of stuff. I beat up that kid. Well, no, he beat me up twice. Oh. Yeah. Graham, whatever his name is.
I need to watch that
man,
show.
That's Canadian. It's all right. I won't hold it against you.
Hey, I love Canada. I have big plans on moving to Canada since I was a little kid.
Well, you're welcome, man.
Yes. Been up there one time. Went to Toronto.
Oh, you went to the wrong side of the country.
It was an orchestra competition. Not my choice.
No, Toronto's good. Toronto's great. I've only worked there once, actually. Being an actor in Canada, it's very east and west.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a lot of us have worked in Vancouver, but Toronto is kind of a different beast because of tax credits and all that kind of crap. And
oh, really?
It's tricky. It's just tricky to go that way. It's easier to go the other way. So, yeah.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Shakespeare, we mentioned her a bit ago. She has a question for you.
Hmm.
What the hell is your problem, man? I don't know if I got the tone right, but I think she's a little. She wants to know what's going on with Fedora. What is your deal?
Yeah, like this is a good question. Is he? I have my, like what I did, but yeah. I love the idea that people are a little unsure. Is he mad? Is he just obeying? Is he just following orders? Is he, and this might throw you for a loop, is he actually trying to help?
Help.
You know,
help
like
who?
It's a good question.
Who are the sides in this thing? I don't know.
I don't want to be that vague. Sure. Like it's a little, you know, it's kind of like throwing out, oh, who cares? You know, it could be this, could be that. But, I never approached him like, I am going to tear everybody's souls out of their faces. Mm-hmm. You know, I always felt like he's doing what he has to do. And I think the scene, a little bit of a spoiler, into the fire, tossing the flash drive into the fire. He sits down. Is that a laugh or is that a cry?
Mm.
A couple of people have pointed it out. I know what I was doing. And it's funny, we did a few takes of it too. So it is a little open. But it's so interesting. Like, what other shows do this kind of stuff to you? I can't think of anything like it.
No. I mean, you know? There's just been, like, little things. Like, on Fringe, there was some hidden stuff in one episode that would hint at what the next one is, but you had to watch the next one to even know what, you know. But it didn't really go as deep as this. And I don't remember how I found out about Haunting Melissa. Could have just been me scrolling through the App Store. But when I found out about the DSEs and started noticing the things were weird and looking into them, and I was like, this was made for me. Like, this is exactly what I've always wanted. Something that you can go further with than just watching it. It's a better way to tell a story.
No, I agree, and I can't wait to see what else is coming down the pipe, and how else this this delivery method and this just, you know, quality projects coming to, you know, the App Store that you can watch and be involved in for this long. I'm just so curious how else it can be used.
Yeah.
And I hope to be involved in some way. I hope Fedora shows up again.
Has to. Definitely, you know, has to. Because it's just things I got to know. But
yeah.
I mean, I was always jealous of those procedural cop TV shows where they run down a case on the wall with the pushpins, have the murder board. And, like, this is something where I've actually put pushpins and index cards on a wall and done it on my computer. I'm currently working on a timeline of events to try to figure out something. I'm hoping there's knowledge to come out of that. But it's just really fun to be involved in it, to talk with it, you know, talk to other people about it. And that there really is, there are things to figure out.
Right. Yeah, no, and for I did the same thing with the script, man. I had to, like, lay the script out on the floor and go, like, okay, where am I here? What? Why am I here? Oh, my God, that's what I'm doing?
Mm.
This is awesome, you know?
Wonder.
Someone I know, I got you all. You're, now your mind is racing.
It is, and I'm fine with that, you know? Things that are vague or mysterious, that's perfectly fine with me because it gives me a new perspective to kind of watch things with. Even the way that some of the scenes are shot, where you have to really think, is this, am I looking through a camera or am I looking through somebody?
Yeah.
It moves a little differently and you don't really, you don't know. Are the other people in the scene, can they not see whoever the camera is? Mm-hmm. You know? There's just a lot to wonder about, especially going from Haunting Melissa, which was more found footage, and then this one, which is more like a movie, so to speak. Because I don't even think of them as sequels. It's more like angles on the same story.
Exactly.
And so some of them you would see as found footage from her camera and things like that, and then some you're kind of seeing it from a detached perspective. And so I think it makes perfect sense to have done it both ways.
Yes, I agree. And I during Neil's podcast, he touched on that a lot of how they went from found footage to a more, he says traditional, or I don't know if he said traditional, but more, you know, movie shot movie.
Right.
And, but I agree. It doesn't quite feel like a movie shot movie. It still has that weird, should I be watching this? Like, right. Am I supposed to be seeing what's going on right now? Like, and he was able to hold that tone through all the chapters, which is really hard to do. But then that also brings in all the other stuff that's amazing. The editing and the music and the sound are just like unparalleled on an app. Like, you can't even compare. But when I first saw the first trailer,
mm-hmm.
So Neil sent me the first longer trailer. I was just like, this looks like this. I could go see this in a theater. That's how impressive the trailer was. It was just like, this looks like the most engaging horror thriller, but you didn't know what it was. But it just shows you how good everybody who was involved in this project is, from the music to the sound to the editing to Neil, the smart guy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Man, so I just thought of the Maynard house. So there's no scenes where you are there, but did you get to go there and kind of be amongst that very strange place?
El Darko was too scared to go in that mother.
Yeah, I can't say that I would unless I had a crew of 60 people around and, you know, someone to call for help if something goes wrong.
No, I didn't get to go down to the Maynard house. Which, that's kind of giving out a spoiler that El Darko's not going to pop up at the Maynard house. But I didn't get to see it. I'm kind of bummed that I heard Neil said it was torn down.
Yeah, that stinks. I would love to at least walk past it, not go in there.
I would have loved just to bring up the guts, bring my iPhone, and just walk through it once.
Yeah.
Just at one time and say, I did it. Walk out, you know?
Yeah.
For my hat.
Oh, yeah, with the hat. You got to get the hat.
I know, I got to get the hat. Neil, I got to get the hat.
Neil, we need a hat stat, please. Yeah. I need a hat.
Yeah, send Zero a hat, too. Yeah.
Yes, everybody gets hats.
Yeah, that's what we should do. That should be the next set gifts or hats. That's what we should do.
Yeah, at least a hat.
No t-shirts.
Hat keychain, hat shirts. The hat should have its own
spin-off. Have you seen the shirts?
I saw a shirt that Natalia got a while back.
Yes. Yeah. Those are the ones that a lot of the crew, that, well, all the crew got them.
Nice.
And they're just, they're so cool. That robot. Yeah. And yeah. Okay. It's a whole other kind of thing too. It's just this whole other level that you're like, wow, such, why would he put out a robot with, you know, it's Japanese, you know,
yeah.
I know. And it makes people go, what? And then all the coordinates throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And then the whole, you know, the whole interface is in the stars, man.
And just little weird hidden floaty things in there. I mean, yeah. What is the deal with the robot? It's in Farley's room, but then there's one that's in the shed. Is that the same robot, or does Adam also have one? Adam does have a poster, so it's likely he may have his own doll.
Yeah. But, well, that Adam, that kid is a little messed up.
Little bit.
That's why I dropped him off. I'm like, I ain't dealing with this. You just go with these nice folk. I can't deal with you, you little bastard. So
where
I dropped them off.
Does Fedora get a kid to drop off?
Boy, there's a question.
Like, yeah. And is that his normal method? Did he drop off anybody else that we know?
That is not the first kid El Darko dropped off at a house.
Didn't think so.
No, Fedora's been busy. There's been a lot of adoptions.
Yeah.
Throughout the world. Yeah.
And you know, so he brings somebody a kid. Kid's some kind of a portal eventually. I guess, I mean, do they need to choose to accept that? Don't know.
Yeah. Well, if it was easy,
mm-hmm.
if El Darko was able just to do everything he wanted, then that would just be too easy.
Sure.
Obviously, he has to do... Man, I'm being vague for you, but
that's
I'm trying
fine.
To be cautious.
Please be vague and cautious.
There's a method to the madness. There is a reason. There's, you know, you can't change the world all at once.
Mm.
You know?
Okay. Can't change the world all at once.
No.
Makes me think.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I'm still figuring out this movie. And it's
me too.
So long.
Like, don't get me wrong. I sit down and watch. I finally, I don't know if other people have done this yet, because everyone who's listening, watch the app all the way through. Watch it a bunch of times on your little iPad or on your phone with your headphones, a blanket over your head. Do mm-hmm. that a bunch of times. And then if you got the means, do AirPlay to your TV, because now I'm watching it again and I'm just discovering stuff going, man, I didn't even see that the first time.
Yeah.
It's not that it was too dark or something. It was just like, you know, just that little bit bigger. But it is made to watch in that small, you know, on the small screen quietly with headphones. But it's so fun to keep delving into it. It's just another way of watching it.
Yeah, doing the podcast, every time I have someone on to do a chapter, I end up finding out something I didn't see or I didn't think about. You were talking
right.
about Greg and his acting. I think I was talking to Ahmed. Can't remember what episode that was. But it's mm-hmm. after Melissa comes back, and first off, what Jack says to her about, you know, how'd you get back? Kind of like he has this expectation that she wasn't supposed to. But at the very end, when he hugs her, his facial expression changes so slightly into this little smirk thing that now I can't stop watching that. I'm just wondering, like, what does he know? I want to know what he knows, because I don't know if that was just what his face did or if that was a conscious decision.
I know this. I know Greg Lawson doesn't make any off-the-cuff decisions. He wants to know. And he would drive Neil crazy wanting to know. And there is a certain point where Neil has to just say, figure it out. But he wants to know. So I would put my money on he's doing that for a reason.
Yeah, it was so subtle that it seemed like it was very calculated.
Yep.
Just enough. Mm-mm. I don't know. Well, this has been amazing. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know we're going to do future episodes.
I promise.
You promise?
If you want, I will show up. What if people have questions, people are just curious, I can come on with somebody else. Whatever, man. This has been great. You are part of the Dark Heart community, man. Thanks. You are in the family.
Well, I especially feel part of it today because before I recorded this, and Neil sent me a message about how you wanted to do it today, as soon as I plugged in my interface, it died. And we do see the visitor messing around with devices in Hot Dark Hearts. So I'm expecting that after this ends and I hang up with you, I'm going to plug it in and it's going to work.
It might. I think this whole interview will just disappear.
Oh, I've hit save like 100 times while we've been talking. I'm not playing any games. I don't know. Because is it ghosts? Is it aliens? What is going on in Dark Hearts? I don't know. Hopefully we'll
figure
it out.
The truth is what we feed the beast. Bitch.
I gotta tell you that when you say feed the beast, I don't think a line has been better delivered in towards the end when you're standing at the table. And
yeah.
It comes off so perfectly.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
It's such a good line.
I can't take all kudos. Neil gave me some good ideas on that too. So it was, I got to say that day of shooting, I know we're at the end of the interview here, but that day of shooting was the best. That day with Farley getting all messed up. It was just amazing for an actor.
Oh, so, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm glad you liked it. Thanks, man.
Oh yeah. That was fantastic. Well, Tom, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Those of you listening, if you're listening through iTunes, you can check us out at adarkcompanion.com. You can also check out the blog for Dark Hearts and Haunting Melissa at itwantstogetout.tumblr.com. And on adarkcompanion.com, there is a PayPal donation button if you feel the need to. Press that button. Any final words for the fans out there?
I'll be watching.
He'll be watching. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thanks, Zero. Take care, buddy.
Have a good day.
The truth is what we feed the beast. Bitch.